Today's shir is Masechta Ksubis Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis at the end of three lines from the bottom Tana Rabbanan. As we had discussed at the end of the previous shir, there is a Machlaikis Amaroim of Kansa Becheskas Besula. If a woman was married with the assumption that she was a Besula, for Nimtza Be'ula, and it turns out that she was not. What is the halacha? Rav Sheish suggested that the marriage is a valid marriage, but the ksuba obviously is reduced to ksuba of a mana. And Rava said, if there was an assumption that this woman was a psula and it turns out that she's a baula and klum, then the marriage is void. And the Gemara continues to attempt to bring a proof to the shaila from the following brisa. Tan Rabbanan, konsurish and l'shem nesuin. If a woman was married to a man, v'yeshli edim shle nistra, but there were edim that said that they never even were secluded together after the nesuin. Inami, even if they were inami nistra, even if they were together in a room, there was l'shosk debia. They were not in that room long enough that he could have had relations with her, and therefore the Einim are testifying that she certainly is still a psula. And now that marriage terminates, and now a second husband comes to marry her. Says the Braisa, Eina Sheini Yochel Toitanis Psulim. The second husband cannot claim that she's a psula. Sherei Konsurishin. For she was already previously married to the previous husband. So even though there were Edim that said that she's still a psula, this husband, the second husband, did not really believe him, and therefore she is only entitled to a ksuba of a mana, and if she turns out that she's not a psula, there is no claim. Why? So there's an interesting machlokes rishonim. Taisa says, because this person, the second husband, realizes that when the Edim said that she's not a Be'ula, that she's a Psula, they were really just trying to make him feel good about what an excellent wife he was getting. But he realized that she's really probably not a Psula. And therefore, when she isn't, he can't have any complaints. Another pshat that's given is that, as something that we referred to in the previous year, the termination of how much a woman is deserving in a ksuba, mosayim or mana, is dependent on how valuable, how attractive she is as a wife. A woman who was married, even if we know Edim are telling us that she's still a psula, was a woman who already was a nesua. And a woman who already was a nesua is only deserving of a mana. What will be the nafkamina between Taishas and the Ramban? The nafkamina will be if he knows for certain, not just because he thinks that the Edim are trying to make him feel good, but he knows for sure that this woman was a psula, and then she wasn't. According to Taishas, he would have a legitimate claim. According to Ramban, it would make no difference. Says Rabba, based on what we just learned in the Braisa, Amar Rabba, Zois Ameris, from what we just learned in this Braisa, we could understand the concept of Becheskas Psula, where he married her with the assumption that she's a Psula, and now a Nimtzes Be'ula, and it turns out that she's a Be'ula, yes, like Ksuba Mana. She is entitled to the Ksuba, because we see here that's not that the Braisa says that she gets no ksuba. The Brice is saying that she is going to get a ksuba, but she'll only get a mono. Rav Ashi says that this is not necessarily a proof. Because normally we could say that if a woman was married with the assumption that she's a basula, and then she turns out to be ula, she receives no ksuba. However, v'hashani hacha, this situation is different. Shrei konsarishin, the first, she was already a married woman, and as we said earlier, that changes the entire picture, and that's why it's not the regular situation. Ask the Gemara, even if we're going to say that there was no financial issue here, and she does receive the mana, but why does the Braisa just say that the chosen has no room for a complaint? There still is a real concern that this wife was a psula after her first marriage, as the Edom said. Then she had Erison with the second husband. Now she's having Nisuin. And by this Nisuin, she is not a Basula. And we should have a real concern. This is the way Rashi explains that between the Erison and the Nisuin of the second husband, she had an adulterous relationship, which would make her prohibited to him. Why are we just assuming that there's no problem? And as Rashi explains, even though the Rishon and Mefarshim explain Rashi this way, we learned earlier on Daf Tes that this is a situation of a Sfek Sfeka, and therefore she is permitted to him. Rashi still says that the Gemara is asking that we should try to do everything in our power to see if that is indeed the case, that there was nothing wrong done here, or perhaps there will be Edom that could come forth and say that she did do something inappropriate, she had an adulterous relationship, and he's not allowed to be married to her. Why do we just close down any avenue of complaint? The Meiri explains that the Gemara is referring to an Eishes Kohen, who, as we explained the Gemara also on Daf Tes, by an Eishes Kohen there is no Sfek Sfeika. And since there's no Sfek Sfeika, we really need to find out what is the status, because if she had a relationship, even was be'oinis, she's not allowed to remain married to him. And what does the Gemara just say? That we don't do any further investigation. The Ramban explains that the reason the Gemara is asking the question here, even though there's a Sfek Sfeika, says the Ramban, because what happened here was that first the woman agreed with what the Edom was saying, that she's a psula. Then when the man marries her, the second husband, he finds that she's not a psula. He finds that she is a bu'ula. So we have a real situation in front of us, and it's not the regular situation of a Sfek Sfeika, where the woman did not agree, did not say anything. Here she said she was a psula, and it turned out what she said was untrue, and that's why the Gemara is saying is, why do we still not have a problem, says the Ramban, shouldn't we go and try to find out what's happening here? Answers the Gemara, Amra Shabia, our Gemara is referring to a situation, Shekide Shabala Alter, where the second husband did Erison and the Suin immediately, one after the other, and since the Erison and the Suin were done immediately one after the other, there is no question that there's no possibility that she did an Aveira as an Arusa, because there was no chance. The Erison and the Suin, like by our weddings, took place immediately, and that's why there's no need for any further investigation. And in fact, that is the reason why all the sugyas that we're discussing about Pesach Pesuach are not really that relevant nowadays, because by us the minig is that under the chuppah we do Erison and the Suin one right after the other, and there's no concern therefore that she could have done an Aveira as an Eishes Ish. The only possibility, say the Paiskim, that we do have to be concerned about is perhaps this woman had relations with a guy, and a woman who had relations with a guy may never, or a apostle, and if they live in a city where that's the majority of people, that's the probability that if she had premarital relationship, that's the one she had relationships with, and she would not be allowed to marry a kohen, for a kohen there's a real concern. In fact, the Paiskim based on this say that it's very important that when a ksuba is written, and let's say this is a woman who experienced premarital relations, and now her husband, even if he knows about it, doesn't want to embarrass her, and therefore he's prepared to write the ksuba that she's a psula and give it amount of money that a psula is deserving, still the Rav should be very careful not to write the word psula when she's not. Because this marriage that she's getting married to now she's not marrying a kohen. There is no problem, even if she had premarital relationships. This marriage may end, and then one day she may want to marry a kohen. And if she once had relations with a person that she wasn't supposed to, that disqualified her permanently from marrying a kohen. So one of the ways that the Rav, who may want to be Masada Kedushin at that wedding that she may ultimately have with a kohen, to investigate her status, is to look at the ksuba she had with her first husband. If in the ksuba will say that she was a psula, he won't look any further, and therefore the Rav has to be careful that if the woman is not a psula, to not write the words psula into the ksuba. There is a machloikus, do we have to go as far as insisting that the word beula be written in? On one hand, it would make a lot of sense for any further investigation that may need to be done. On the other hand, obviously it's embarrassing to the woman, and therefore there are rabbanim that don't require the beula be written, they just require that the word besula be omitted. Some say that this discussion we just had isn't regarding what we learned in the Braisa, but rather what we learned in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, besula amana grusha v'chalutza minin asuin, if they became an almana grusha chalutza after the nesuin, even though she's still a psula, ksubasim mana, she's only entitled to ksuba of a mana, veilan tainas psulim, and there is no taina if she's discovered not to be a psula. Psula min askuin hechem shkachsla, asked the Gemara, how could it be that she had nesuin and she's still a psula? Says the Gemara, kagan she nechnasul chuppah v'loi nivlo, a situation where the first husband had a chuppah with her, but they never consummated the relationship. Again, says Rabbah, Zois Ameris, from here we seem to see that Kansa Becheskes Pesula Venimtsa Beula, that she was married with the assumption she's a Pesula and then she turned out to be a Beula, Ksuba Samana. And we don't say that it's a Mekachtos. Ravashi Amma, says Ravashi, Lo'ilam Eimalach Ba'amales Baklal. Under normal circumstances, perhaps it's a Mekachtos and she's not deserving to anything. However, here was a different situation. V'shani hacha shrei nichnas l'chuppah, because she had a chuppah, and that's why she's in a different status. Ask the Gemara again. V'leichu shem etachtav zinsa. Why are we not to be concerned that she was mezana as an arusa, and why shouldn't we have to do an investigation to really find out what is her status? Amar Rav Shavya kigon shekiddush ba'al alter. We're referring to a situation where he did bia right after the erusin, the nesuin and the erusin were right after the other, so there was no chance for her to do something inappropriate while she was an arusa. Says the Gemara, man de masna la braisa, the one that had this discussion between the quotes, this discussion between Rav and Rav Ashi on the braisa, where there are edim that are testifying that she is still a psula. And yet, we don't take that testimony seriously, as we explained, because Tosfos says, we're saying that the Edom only said it to make the husband feel good. Certainly in the Mishnah, where it's only an assumption, there aren't Edom that are coming in and saying that she's a psula. Certainly Rav Ashi's assumption will be correct. However, man de masla masnitsin, whoever, the one that quoted this dialogue regarding the Mishnah, will say in the Mishnah, where the second husband really never had strong substantiation to believe that she was a psula, there, if she taka is a bula, he has no claim. Avla braisa, where there are edim, and the edim are telling him that she's a psula, the matza amrlo, that he could then say, anoa edim samchi, I relate on the edim, there he would have a complaint and he would be able to say it was a mekachtos and not have to pay the ksuba at all, So, to understand this lahalocha, what the Gemara is saying is like this. The man d'amar that says this dialogue is both on the Mishnah and on the Braisa is essentially telling us that kansa becheskas besula v'nimtzas Bula is Ein Loi Klum. These situations are different. Where the man that says that it's only regarding to the Mishnah will hold the concept of Cheskas Pesula of Nimtza Bula still gets a mono. La Loch Lamaisa, we hold the concept of Cheskas Pesula of Nimtza Bula, she is not entitled to any ksuba, it was a mekach tosh. What about konsa becheskas pesula for nimtzis mukaseitz? There the halacha is that she only gets a ksuba of a mana, but the marriage is still a valid marriage. This shaila could come up, the paiskim say that if a doctor, for whatever medical reason, had to remove the besulim, the hymen of a woman, the woman is a konsa becheskas pesula of a nimtzis mukaseitz, and a ksuba is reduced to mana. But we have to repeat something that we learned, we quoted the Gemara when we learned the Gemara in Daf Tes. All of these complaints of Kansa Becheskas Pesula, V'nimtza Be'ula, that were saying that Ein Lo Klum, that it's a Mekach Tos, is if the husband made the claim immediately. But if they were married for a while, and then afterwards the husband comes up with this claim, so that's a proof that he's only doing it because she found this favor in his eyes, and he's looking for a way out of the marriage, and there the halacha would be that he would have to, that he would not be believed. However, the Paiskim do bring one situation where even it was Kansa Becheskas Pesula, V'nimtzis Be'ula, and he only came a while later to claim that it was that way, he would be believed. And that was when he married her on the assumption that she was a Pesula. Then he had relations with her and didn't know if it is she is a Pesula or not. He's not really that experienced. And then afterwards, it turns out that she's pregnant. So he could come and say, the reason I didn't immediately say that there was a problem here was because I didn't really have a way of identifying if she's a psula or not. I'm not experienced. But now that I see she's pregnant, and she's pregnant for months, which obviously she's pregnant before we got married, then he would be believed, even if he didn't come immediately after the marriage to make this claim. In fact, the Paiskim take this, the Marit takes this even a step further. Kansa Becheskas Be'ula, if he married her under the assumption that he knows she's not a Psula, then he certainly has no complaint when she's a Be'ula. But then, why would be the halacha if a man married a woman who he knows is a Be'ula? And then after a week or two, whatever, after the marriage, she sees that she's pregnant from a relationship that he had from before the marriage. There the halacha would be that even though he married her with the knowledge, and he's admitting to that knowledge that she was a Be'ula, she still says, I didn't want to marry a woman who's carrying the child of another man, and he could say it's a Mekach Tos, and the Kedushin is void. There's an interesting Marshag who disagrees, and he says, by saying this, what he's saying is that all the Bias, all the times that he had relations with her from when they got married until he discovered that she was pregnant from another man will turn out to be a Bias Nus. And we have a rule that ain adam oisoi oisa bilasa bilasnos, and even under those circumstances, he cannot, his claim of a mekach tos cannot be accepted. Continues the Mishnah, ha'oichel etzel chama b'Yehuda shlai b'Edom. As we've learned earlier, the minig was that people who lived in Yehuda would typically have relations with their would typically be kept in seclusion with the Arusa, and the Rishonim give two reasons. One is just to create a familiarity between the Arus and Arusa, so when the Nisun ultimately comes, they should be comfortable with each other. Another explanation we quoted is a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, in Yehuda there was a decree that the governor had to have relations with every Arusa before she had Nisuin. And there was a concern that if she didn't have this close relationship with her husband yet, the relationship she'll have with this governor will be Lerotzen, and then she'll be satisfied with it, and then she's not allowed to live with her husband. So they purposely required that the husband and Kala, the Chas and Kala, the Oros Arusa, have relations so that if she ends up having these forced relations with the governor, it should be considered a rape that should not prohibit her from being able to marry her husband. Actually, the difference between these two pshatim is, how do we look at what happened in Yehuda? Some Rishonim say that in Yehuda they actually encouraged that the Arus and Arusa should have relations. On the other hand, other Rishonim, according to, because we wanted to have, that they should have relations before the governor came into play. If, on the other hand, the Vart is that we just want familiarity, we want them to be familiar with each other, but we don't necessarily encourage that they should have relations. Mefarshim also explained why was this decree that the governor had to have relations specifically in Yehuda. So one pshat is because they knew that the Mashiach is going to come out of Yehuda, and they knew that Mashiach won't come from a woman who had a relations, premarital relations with this Goyish governor, and they wanted to avoid the birth of Yehuda, of Mashiach. Another pshat is that this was a gzera made by Edoim. Edoim were the descendants of Esav, and the Medrash says that Yehuda was the one that killed Esav, and there, and now the issue, and now in revenge, they made this horrible decree. So says the Mishnah, Ha'oichel Eitzel Chama B'Yehuda Shlo B'Edim. If somebody had relations, was secluded with his kala Oros and Arusa without witnesses that could say that they were never secluded, any yochel to tan psulim. So then, when they get married, he can't come and say that there was a psulim, that she didn't have psulim. You know why she didn't have psulim? Because they obviously had relations, and he must have forgotten, or he's just trying to say something inappropriate. The Rishonim discuss what is the kala saying. Some say that the kala has to be responding that I was a psula, because otherwise, if he says that she wasn't a psula and she's not arguing, maybe even Yehuda he should be believed. However, the Shita says that even if the kala doesn't respond, we still will not believe him. And we'll say that the reason the kala is not responding is because what her response would actually be an admission that she had relations with her husband before Nisuin, which is something that she would be embarrassed to admit to publicly. And therefore, even if she doesn't respond, still the Arus is not believed. There's also a question that the Rishonim ask, going back to something that we discussed so many times. We know that the Gemara says, Chazoka en Odom Taret Besuda Mafsida. The Chassan is not going to make a wedding for nothing, and therefore he's believed. So why in Yehuda, even though that they were secluded before the Nisuin, and there's a chance that they had relations, if this husband is coming and saying, my wife is a Ba'ula, and I wasn't the one that had relations with her, why shouldn't he be believed? Don't we have the chazaka that ain adam tarich besuda mafsida? So the Rishonim answer, there is indeed that chazaka, but here we have a different chazaka working against it. And that's the chazaka that a person who is kept in privacy with his kala is likely to have relations with her. The chazaka that when he was secluded with her, he had relations with her, is stronger than the chazaka of ain adam tarech besuda mafsida, and therefore he's not to be believed. Since they have yichud, we assume that they had relations during that yichud. Says the Gemara, Miritani ha'oichel. Since the Mishnah used the word ha'oichel, Mechlal de'ika duchta b'Yehuda nami de'loyachel. Mishnah doesn't say everywhere in Yehuda. Mishnah says some places in Yehuda. What is the point that the Mishnah is trying to make? Amar Abaya, Shema Mina, what we're trying to say from here is, b'Yehuda nami mekaymus mekaymus yesh. There are different areas. Some places in Yehuda they did put the chasen kala together, and other places they didn't. Ask the Rajba, what is Abaya adding that isn't obvious in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is obviously saying ha'oichel, that there's some places that are that way and there's some places that are not that way. What's the point? Says the Rajba, that what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that if one lives in a place where the chas and kala are secluded, even though he comes and says, I don't come from such a place, I didn't do anything wrong, he will not be believed. It depends on your makam. If the place you come from is a place where it's secluded, you're not believed. If you come from a place where they're not secluded, you are believed. Ketanya and Abraya bring support to a statement from the following brisa. Am Yehuda, Yehuda Barishayna, and Yehuda Hayimiyachtim Sechosim Sekala Sham Achas Kadim Knesos L'Chapa. They would put them together for an hour before the Chuppah, Kedei Shlo Yeliva Gaspa, so that they should be familiar with each other. Ubegolol Lo Hayoysen Kain. But they would not do this in Gol. But Yehuda Barishayna made them Lam Shnei Shishbinim. They would put two attendants to the chosn kala, echad loy v'echad lo, one for him, one for her. Kedei lemashmish as a chosn as a kala, in order to make sure that the chosn kala b'shtas knisos l'chupim did not do anything inappropriate. We're concerned that the chosn will take the sheet that got bloody and hide it, so he should be able to say that his wife wasn't a psula. And on the other hand, we're concerned that the kala, who knows she's not a psula, will bring a bloody sheet into the marriage to say that she is a psula when she indeed isn't. But Golloi Isaacane, they didn't do that. But Yehuda Rishonah Yishashbinim Yishenim, Babai Shachosim Kali Yishenim Ba. And Yehuda, the Shashbinim, went into the room where they were sleeping, again, to prevent that they shouldn't do anything wrong. Or but Golloi Isaacane. And Golo, they didn't do this. For Kol Shloi Noi Kaminikazet, anyone that didn't follow this practice, any Yochel Litoin Tainis Ksuba, if Tainis Psulim, if they don't have the Shishbinim, then we can't trust them. Before we go further, the Mefarshim ask, it's obvious that in Golol they didn't sleep in the same room, because in Golol they didn't have Shishbinim at all. So why does the Bryce have to continue telling us in the Golol they didn't sleep? So some, the Meiri says that actually this wording of the Bryce are indeed superfluous. Other Rishonim explain that there were different menhagim in Golol. Some places in Golol, they didn't have Shishbinim at all. In other places, they had Shishbinim, but the Shishbinim, unlike in Yehuda, did not sleep in the same room as the Chosn Kala. Now, the Brice made the last statement, that Kol Shloi Noah Kaminikazeh, whoever didn't do this, and Yochalit and Tanis Pesulim. On what part of the Brice is this statement being made? Ilay Mereisha is referring to the Reisha, so it's a Kol Shanog B'Boilei. What it should say is, whoever has this practice, whoever has the practice of being secluded with the Kala, should not have doesn't have the Tanis Psulim. What did it say? Kol Shaloi Nog. Ella, it's going on the Sefer. Kol Shaloi Mishmish, and it's going on the Sefer, which spoke about the practice to have attendance. So it says kosh loy mushmish. It should say if you didn't have attendance, then you can't have a tainus psulim. What does it say? Kosh loy nog. It should say kosh loy mushmish. Amar baya loy l'mareisha. It's going back to the reisha, and instead of saying the words kol shenog, it should say kosh. Instead of saying kosh loy nog, it should say kosh nog. And meaning whoever had the minig of being biyichud chosn and kala cannot have a tainus psulim. Amalei Rava for Kosh Loinog Tani. The Brice explicitly says Kosh Loinog, and you're changing it to say Kosh Loinog. And as the Mefarshim explained, we find many times in Shas that the Gemara changes the wording of a Brice. What the Gemara here means, however, to say is that perhaps there's a Teretz that doesn't require such a radical changing of wording of a Brice. And that's what Rava indeed says. Amalei Rava, Elam Rava Hakkam. Kosh loy nog minig golol begolol, whoever doesn't practice with the minig of golol and golol, el minig Yehuda begolol, he follows as the Yehuda, as the minig of Yehuda in golol, and a yochalot and tanis psulim, and he, even though he lives in golol, has the chos and kala being kept together, under those circumstances, and a yochalot and tanis psulim, cannot claim when he finds his wife to be a bula, because we assume that he was the one that had relations with her. As to Mefarshim, it's obvious. If they were together, what's the difference if they were in Golol or Yehuda? So explain to Mefarshim. People are generally not lawyers. So if the chassan is coming and saying that his wife is a bula, and even though he had yichud, he's saying, I wasn't the one that had relations with her, maybe we should still believe him. Teaches us the Brisa, no matter who and no matter where, we have to be concerned that the person was the one that had relations with her, and he cannot make a claim why she Ibula. Rav Ashi Amar Lo'olam HaSeifa. It's going back on the Seifa, which says about the minig of having Shishbinim. Tani Kosh Loy Mishmas, and change the words and say that anyone who was not examined by the Shishbinim cannot claim Basulim. And as the Mefarshim explained, from changing the word from Nohag to Loy Nohag is a very dramatic change. It's just the opposite. And therefore Rava wasn't satisfied with that kind of a change of wording in the Braisa. Here, we're just changing it from Kol Shel Noag Mishmish to Kol Shel Loy Noag Mishmish. But the crucial words of Noag Mishmish remain in both versions, and therefore it's not considered such a radical changing of wording, and everybody can explain that that's Pshat in the Braisa. Says the Mishnah further, Achas Amonos Yisrael, Vachas Amonos Kahanim, both the Amon of a Yisrael or the Amon of a Kahanim, Ksubas Amon, is entitled to Ksub of Amon. However, says the Mishnah, Bezdin Shel Kahanim, there was a Bezdin that lived in the city of Kahanim, that Hayigoyim L'Ksuba Absul Abba Mezuz, they had that the Ksuba of an Amon was 400 Zuz, V'Lamich B'Yodim Chachomim, and the Chachomim did not complain. And now we can understand what the chiddush of the Reish is. Why would I think that the Amana of a Kohen is different? So the Mishnah is teaching us, since we see that the Ksuba of a Psula of a Kohen is double the Ksuba of a Psula of a Yisrael, perhaps we should follow the same formula by Amana of a Kohen. That's why the Mishnah teaches us, although we'll go through the history in the Gemara, that the Ksuba of Amana's Kohen is the same as the Yisrael. It's only by a Basula where there is different. Taisus also goes on to say, when the Gemara says here, when the Mishnah says here that the Bezdin Shel Kahanim established the Ksuba of Abba Me'ezuz, it is not just that it's considered that there's a Taisus, that there's Messiahim, and that is a Taisus Ksuba, which we learned is legitimate, of another 200 Zuz. Rather, what it means to say is that that became the standard Ksuba. And when it says in the Ksuba, the Chazi Lechi, that's what it means that she's entitled to 400 Zuz. Another Pshat that I saw is, as we learned and will learn, that not in every area that they actually commit the Ksuba to a document. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that we just know that there's a Ksuba relationship between a husband and a wife, and in the place of Kahanim, there is no, it's automatic that it's 400 Zuz without any question. Tana, v'amonas kahanim b'subas mesayim. There's a brisa that says that the ksuba of the amon of kahanim was 200 zuz. Ask them, didn't we just learn in the Mishnah v'nan tanan achas amonas Yisrael v'achas amonas kahanim ksubas amona? So how could you say that the ksuba was mesayim? Amar v'ashi shteita kanas hava. There were two stages. There were two stages. This way Rashi explains. Mikara tikna l'psula ba mezuz or amana mana. First, they had the Kahanim's wives having a mana when she was an almana like everyone else. Kiva the chazam azalzalba. When people saw that they were treating the widows of their family not respectfully, it was easy to get divorced. It wasn't such an expensive proposition. That's how Rashi explains. Taisus explains differently. Taisus explains that if a woman was only deserving of a small ksuba, so when a man looked at that woman, he said, this woman is probably not a very special woman if she only is demanding, is only deserving of such a minimal ksuba. So the tikinul hamasim, so the kahanim on their own decided that the ksuba of their amanas should be increased to 200 zuz. However, kivin dechaz de kapar shemenayu, then things changed the other way. People didn't marry those widows. The Amrim, because people used to say, ad de naz sivan amonis kahanim, instead of marrying the amon of a kohen, nezav a nezav besula bas Yisrael. We can marry a besula. She may not be a kohenis, but she's a besula. So Adrinal and Masayu, they went back to the original, and they had the amon getting back amon. So in other words, according to Rashi, there were two stages, state takana. First she started with amon, then she went to 200, and then she went back to 100. The Retvaz, as quoted in the Shita says that the two takanas that the Gemara refers to is, one is the takana of Absulos Kahanim, and one is the takana of Almonos Kahanim. Absula got 400, and that takana remained. Almona was told to get 200, but that takana was ultimately revoked. Bezdin Shel Kahanim, the Bezdin Shel Kahanim raised it to 400 tzuz. Amru Vidom Shmuel, Loi Bezdin Shel Kahanim Bavad Amru, it's not only the Bezdin of a Kahanim, Elo, Afilo Mishpacha Sam Yichotis B'Yisrael, any Mishpacha that is of significant Yichas in Klal Yisrael, Emrot Zolatz Kederach Shel Kahanim Oisim, if they want to raise the level of the mount that has to be the Ksuba like the Kahanim did, Oisim, they may do that. And what the Rashba says, the Chiddush is that if it becomes a Minig HaMokam, nobody could say, I don't want to follow this Minig, it becomes the Minig. Meisvei asked the Gemara, HaRoitzel Askedar Shekhanim Oisim, if somebody wants to do as the Kahanim do. Ki goyim Bas Yisrael a Koyin, or Bas Koyin Yisrael. Like when a Bas Yisrael marries a Koyin, or Bas Koyin marries a Yisrael, Oisim, they may do so. So what do we see from this Braisa? The Bas Yisrael a Koyin, or Bas Koyin Yisrael, when one of the partners is a Koyin, who the Iketzat Kahuna, that's where they could raise up the Ksuba obligation. Avol Bas Yisrael Yisrael, when Yisrael marries Yisrael, seems that this price is saying that they can never arbitrarily raise up the ksuba. So the Gemara loy mibay Bas Yisrael Yisrael, when Bas Yisrael marries another Yisrael, the loy matz amala alui kamilinaloth, where she can't say, where the husband can't say to her, I brought you into a higher status, because she's a Yisrael and he's a Yisrael, so they're both where they were originally. That certainly she could demand a ksuba, a higher ksuba. Ava Bas Yisrael a Koyin. When a Bas Yisrael marries a Koyin, Da Matza Amala Alui Kamalinaloch, the Koyin say, I already did for you a great favor. I turned you in from being a Bas Yisrael into Kahanis. Amaloi, I could say that her family cannot demand a higher ksuba, Kamash Milan, that even a Bas Yisrael who marries a Koyin can make that demand. Ask the Rishonim, but what about Bas Koyin that marries a Yisrael? In that case, he's not raising her. If anything, he's making her a lower status. Till now she was a Kahanis, she could eat Truma, and now she's Yisraelis. So Rishonim answer that the Kahanim did not want to act arrogantly. And therefore, even though only in a situation of a Bas Yisrael L'Koyin is there this issue that he could say, I already made you a higher status, Yichas, that should be enough, but not to be arrogant and show how important they are, they kept it, it's always the same, Bas Yisrael L'Koyin, or Bas Koyin L'Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Hanoisa Se'isha, V'lai Motzla B'sulim. A man marries a woman, and he doesn't find B'sulim. Hu Ami Mishnah Restani Nanasti, she says that I lost my B'sulim, I was raped, after I was in Arusa, Nistab Chesedeyu, and it was your bad mazel, and but I'm still deserving of a ksuba of Messiah. So the Mefarshim, the Taisus Rid, wants to bring a raya from this Mishnah, this, something that we previously have discussed, that from here we see that a woman, as soon as she's in Arusa, is entitled to a ksuba. Because if she was only entitled to the ksuba from the Nesuin, what kind of claim is this? So some Rishonim actually bring this as a proof. The Rishonim that hold that there is no ksuba from Erisin will hold that even though there is no obligation to give a ksuba from Erisin, a chosin could obligate himself to do it. And that's the case of our Mishnah. What does the Stav Chesedeyu mean? One Poshup Pshat is that it's your bad luck that I was raped and I'm no longer a psula. Another Pshat she could say to us like this, I became your Arusa. When I became your Arusa, my fate, my status got connected to yours. So if I was raped, it's because you did something wrong. It's because you were deserving that your wife should be raped. There's a machlokes that, to what degree is this claim and counterclaim? Is it only on the Iker Ksuba, as the Shilta Gebarim says, or are they also having the same claim that if when he wrote the Ksuba, he added Taisus Ksuba, the claims are referring to the Taisus Ksuba also? So again, he omers Mishir Astani Nanasti, I was raped after I was on the roots of Nestapach Sadei, it's your bad luck, and I'm deserving of a ksub of Messiah. V'huam aloi ki ela achalei resticha, it didn't happen after it happened before. V'yimechim mechatos, you were a ba'ula. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Leza, omrim, namenes. She's believed. Rabbi Shua omer, loi mipi anachayim, we don't trust what she says. We consider a be'ula actually to Aris, that she was already be'ula before the Arison, and she misled him until she could conclusively prove that she only lost her besulim after she was an Arusa. The Shita says, what's pshat aloy mikpio anichayim? So he explains, the Mishnah says that Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ashlosh dvarim ha'olim amid ala din val emes val shalom. And what he's trying to, what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is, Lama Pia, just because she says something, it isn't necessarily the truth. And the only thing that we have to follow is the absolute truth. And since we have no proof that this is an absolute proof, we don't accept her. Itmar. So the Gemara quotes the following machlokes. Mana li biyotcha. If somebody goes over to somebody else and says, you owe me money. Vala ama eni yedeya. And the other person says, I don't know. Rav Yehuda Rav Huna Amri Chayiv. He's chayiv. Why? Because this is, as we learned in our Mishnah, a situation of Bari Veshema. He is saying, you owe me the money, and he's saying that I don't know, and therefore he has to pay. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Pater, we don't say Bari Veshema. Just like in our Mishnah, the woman is a Bari, and the woman and the man is a Shema. The woman saying, I'm telling you, I was raped after the Arison. The man is can't conclusively debate that, and we believe the woman. However, says Tosfos, it's only in this case where the man says any idea is there such a discussion. But let's say if the person says, I know I borrowed money from you, but I don't recall if I paid back, there everybody will agree that he has to pay the money that's being asked from him. Also, say to Rishonim, that even though he has to pay, in our case, he still has to make the malva will have to make a shvuas hesis that he's indeed owed the money. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayiv. So Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda say that he has to pay, as we explained, because bari v'shema bari odif. Rav Yochanan, Amri Pater, ukim emana cheskes mori. We leave the money where it is, and since even though he has a claim of bari, that isn't enough that he has to pay it back. Amalei Beilah Rav Yosef. Hadrav Huna Rav Yehuda to Shmuelhi. This position of Huna Rav Yehuda represent the opinion of Shmuel. The Tanan, we're going to learn in a Mishnah, Haisimu Beres, if an unmarried woman was pregnant. Vamla Mati Bishlubuza, who's his father? And she says, Me'ish Pliny, the Kainhu. The father is that person who is a person of excellent Yichas, and therefore the child is of fine Yichas. Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar, Imrim Namenes, we believe her. V'am Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Halach Rav Yehuda, Halach Rav Gamliel. Why do we believe it? Because she's saying a bari. She's saying for sure that this is the situation. V'am Alei Rav Shmul Bar Yehuda Rav Yehuda, Shinana. He called him a sharp one, or he had big teeth. Amit Lamashmei Dishmul Halach Rav Gamliel, Aparishayna. You already told us that the Halach is like Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah, where the woman is believed to say that she was raped after the Arison. My Afbarishina, what is the case of our Mishnah? That Afgav the Ikal Meima Ukim Money Bacheskas Mari, even though the husband is the one that has the money of the Ksuba, and if we follow the Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of Ukim Money Bacheskas Mari, perhaps he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba, still Om Rabbi Gamliel, Bari Adif, since she is making a definite claim, which he can't refute, we follow what she says. So ask the Gemara, should we say Leim Rav Yehuda Rav Huna Damer Kamliel? So is it essentially what we're saying, that the Machlokes Rav Huna Rav Yehuda versus Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan is the Machlokes of our Mishnah? And as the Rishonim explained, so what are the Rishonim, what are these Amoroyim coming to add in this Machlokes, which is more than the Machlokes we already have in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman Rav Yochanan Damer Lik Rav Yeshua. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman could tell you, I could agree with Rav Gamliel's opinion in our Mishnah. Because at kan like kamer gamliel hosam, the reason why in our Mishnah Ragamliel believes the wife el deka migui, because she has a migui. She could have said, which we know a migui always gives the person a power. She says, I could have said a better taina. When I said a weaker taina, it's a proof that it's the emes. When I said a weaker claim, it's the proof that it's the truth. What could have been a better taina? A better claim she could have said is, she could have said that she was a mukaseitz. If she's a, what makes that a better claim? That she would not become forbidden to a kohen. If she was a nusa, she's also to the kohen. And therefore, since she has this migui, it's not just the bori that makes her nemenes, according to Gamliel. It's the migui that comes along with that bori. Aval hocha, in the case where they had the dispute over the loan, my miguyaka, there is no migui, and therefore, Rabbi Gamliel would also agree that we just don't follow a simple bori v'shem situation. Inami, at kan lekamer Gamliel hosom, el damina chazokme achazka. We can rely on the chazaka. The chazaka, machlokes rishonim, what the chazaka is. Some rishonim say the chazaka is that every woman is born a psula. So the chazaka is that she still is a psula. Others say that the chazaka is that most women, when they get married, are psulais. Aval hocha, chazak, my chazaka is lalhai. What chazaka does this person have that he should have to pay back the money? Hachanam mstabra, the kunam shaninan. What we're saying, the Rav Nachman and Rav Gamliel could agree. The Rav Nachman and Rav Gamliel makes sense to say that. Because on one hand, Dim Kain, if we will not have a way of being able to explain, the Rav Nachman and Rav Gamliel agree, Kasha Hachasa Hachasa, we'll have a problem, how we have, we'll have a contradiction, how we pass in two Shailas. The Kaimelon, we know that throughout Shas Hachasa Rav Nachman Bedini. And therefore, even though it's a situation of Bari Vishema, the person with the claim still cannot make the other one pay the money. Yet, in our Mishnah, Baha, regarding the issue of our Mishnah, Amar Yehuda Mishmah Alach Rav Gamliel. So, and if the explanation of our Mishnah is purely based on a situation of Bari Vishema, why is it a bar, why are we passing like Rav Gamliel? We pass like Rav Nachman, that we don't follow Bari Vishema. Elav Shema Minokir Mishaninin, that our Mishnah is not Rav Gamliel's position, opinion, is not purely based on a Bari Vishema, Bari Adif. It's based because there's a Chazaka or a Migui bolstering it. Shema Mina. And that's why our Mishnah say to Rishonim, use the word Namenis. What does it say, Namenis? What does it say that he's Chayiv? It's not because he's Chayiv. It's just because Namenis, her claim is stronger because besides her being a Bari, she also has the Chazaka and the Migui backing her up.